We are beginning a new series, and you'll see it there, Down from the Mountain. And I want to begin as we have kind of an introduction to this book, to the Acts of the Apostles. Let me begin simply by reading the first 11 verses and praying for us. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Let me pray for us. Father in heaven, Lord, as we begin a new journey in this book that you have given us, the Acts of the Apostles, Lord, I pray that you might give us wisdom, Lord, that we might learn wonderful things from this book. We praise you. Would your Holy Spirit illumine our hearts and minds now? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I was saying earlier, we are beginning this new study of the early chapters the book of Acts, and really the whole sermon today helps explain and introduces the idea of this title, Down from the Mountain. You see, what we learn early on as we start reading the book of Acts is that we learn that the book of Acts is a sequel of sorts. All right? Now, I'm often asked just randomly a non-biblical question, which is this: what is your favorite movie? And it's on our website if you want to go and read about my favorite movies. But what I tell people is, look, all right, if I want to have any kind of respect from you, I'll tell you that my favorite movie is It's a Wonderful Life, because it is one of my favorites. But there's one that ties with it, and at times I watch it, and it's just that nostalgic connection with it, but it's Back to the Future. And so if I don't care about being judged by you, I say Back to the Future, all right? A silly movie in the mid-80s that came out. And I remember waiting when it came out for 4 years, waiting for a sequel. I don't know if you remembered that or not, if you were around back then, but there was a sense of, would they actually even make a sequel? At the end of the first film, it said to be continued, and they kind of, that wasn't even in the original film. They put that in the VHS, and so if you don't know what a VHS is, you can ask your parents later. But I remember waiting for 4 years, and finally they announced the sequel. And I was so excited, and I went to the movie, and I remember sitting in the movie, and I remember as we were getting halfway through and a little bit further on, I started looking at my watch, and I'm going, oh no, I only have 45 minutes of this left. And then 30, and then 10, and then it ended, and I'm thinking, oh no, you know, will I ever see these folks again? These characters that I'd grown to love, would I ever, you know, get to see Marty and Doc in the DeLorean again? I told you I don't care if you judge me, all right? And then something happened as the end of the scene of Back to the Future 2 went down and it went black. All of a sudden, it started flickering again and it came back and it was a trailer for Back to the Future Part 3, where we would get to see again the familiar characters of the film. And I was ecstatic. And in many ways, what we have is we have the Gospels coming to an end. right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And they come to an end and the screen goes black and there's this question of, you know, will we see these characters again? Will we discover what happened? Because it ends at a very high point, right? Jesus gives the Great Commission. And then there's this sense of being called to go into all the world. And what is it that's going to happen? And we have now a sequel where we see these familiar characters return. You have Jesus and Peter and the disciples. They reappear on screen. And it's the sequel, the Acts of the Apostles. The authorship of the book is actually written by a physician, written by a doctor, Dr. Luke. And years ago, originally, when these two books, Luke's Gospel as well as Acts, they used to be kind of together. They were put together by Luke, and for years they were together, and then they got separated as we put the Gospels in one area, and then Acts is kind of a historical book in another area of our Bible. But they were originally together, and it wasn't so much two different books as it was changing chapters, going from the first chapter to the second. In our opening verse, Luke, Dr. Luke, references his first book, doesn't he? Started out in verse 1, he says, in the first book, O Theophilus, by the way, we don't know who Theophilus is, I won't spend much more time than that. All right, you satisfied? There's all different ideas, we don't know. But he says, in the first book, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. Luke gives a hint of the ascension at the end of his gospel, and then as it transitions into chapter 2, we prepare for the sequel. What will happen in this next story? What happens is the screen flickers back to life and Jesus and the disciples reappear. You know, what we're going to watch in the first chapters of this book is that the apostles are leaving what we might label a mountaintop experience, right? They have had an encounter with Jesus, a three-year encounter with him in ministry, had been with him and had witnessed the resurrection. They've had this mountaintop experience, but now Jesus, God the Son, God is about to go away. And the question is, as they descend from the mountain, as they come down from the mountain, what result will we see from that? That mountaintop experience of being with Jesus, what will be the result? We're going to get to watch that over the next several months as we look at these first chapters of Acts. It's a great time for us, I think, to ask some questions of ourselves, especially to those who are Christians. I want to encourage you to think right now and process and think through remembering your very first encounter with God. For those who are Christians this morning, do you remember those first days? Right, a time before probably you knew all the Sunday school answers. Time before you may have had good theology. Do you remember that initial meeting with Jesus? For many, it was maybe a time before you had money, a time before you felt that you really made anything or something of yourself. Maybe it was a time when you felt alone, but it was that time in your life, that very first encounter with God, that mountaintop experience, if you will, that time when you had your eyes open, when you saw that your sins were forgiven, that initial encounter with God. And for many of us, there are certain songs or places that when we either hear the songs or drive by that place or go to that place, it conjures up, right, the emotions of those early days of the faith. Jesus calls this, you know, our first love. Do you have a sense of that right now, this morning? That first experience, that mountaintop experience. And the thing about mountaintop experiences is that they always come to an end, right? And at that point, you have to watch and see as you come down from the mountain, as you begin to engage this world, how is it that you respond? And so as God goes away here, as Jesus goes away, how will the apostles respond? As we watch this, I think it's, once again, just a chance for us to reflect, a chance for us to think upon as we thought about our past, but also to encourage us to ask where we are today. You know, do we see our heart being made new? As we reflect back on our past and think of where we are, do we see our heart growing cold? Do we see power in our life? You know, that same power that was able to change our lives, do we still see that power today, or do we see tepidness? And I want to invite you to kind of join me as we wrestle with these things. Let me begin. I know some of you think I've already begun, but let me begin now. Sharing a quick story that I think gets at the heart of these things. I was in high school and had just gotten my driver's license, and we had an event at our church, and that event was a murder mystery. All right, maybe a strange thing for a church, but I tell you what, it was a lot of fun. I know you're not supposed to murder, but it's okay to solve them, all right? And we went around to the different rooms, and I was on a team. And I remember, you know, going in and just trying to really read people, being this kind of great detective. And at the end of the evening, we had to say who we thought it was. It was kind of basically was Clue, all right? And we had to figure out who it was, what weapon they used, where it was, where it happened, and all of that. And my team won. Got a little certificate, you know, that said, you know, chief detective or whatever it was. And I was so excited. We had been able to solve the crime. And I remember I was with my brother. He was on my team too. We walked outside to get in the car. And I said, Scott, do you remember where we parked? He said, yeah, we parked over here. So we walked over here. Couldn't see our car. So, okay, well, maybe, I remember last week parked over there. Maybe we're getting our mind mixed up. We started walking around the parking lot. People are leaving the Clue event. All these great detectives. And we're walking around, and pretty soon we realize that our car has been stolen. Car's nowhere to be found. Now, I won't go into all this. It's not the point of the story. But just so you know, the car was an old car. Had kind of the ceiling was flapping and caving in. You ever had that? There were some other things wrong with it. Kids in the sermon search will get to learn one of those. But it was interesting. The radio was stuck to always being on. So I don't know who stole it, but it was always stuck to being on, and we couldn't change the station. It was stuck on a Christian station. And it was turned up really loud. And so whoever it was driving away, having stolen our car, was getting a little bit of the gospel as they went. But I remember coming out of that event, how we had just solved this crime. We were the great detectives. And we came out, and when we were faced with the weight of a real crime, right? When the dust had settled from the game of Clue, we had no true ability, did we? We didn't know what to do. We couldn't even solve this very simple car theft. And I think that oftentimes within our faith, we come away from mountaintop experience with a sense that we can take on the world, right? We're fired up, and then we're faced with the weight of everyday trials, and all of a sudden when the dust settles, we see our mountaintop experience just kind of dissolve and vanish before our eyes. And the thing is, I would say that the Christian life is full of little mountaintop experiences. They might be smaller peaks, but you have things like church, you know, a sermon or a Bible study. Maybe you're in a small group or Sunday school. You know, these little peaks that we have. And though they're little peaks, they're peaks nonetheless. And then when we're met with the raw life of this, the things of this world, and they don't even have to be big things, right? They can be mundane things. All of a sudden, that experience vanishes. I remember just a couple of weeks ago, I was in Liberty. If you're from Liberty, it's okay, even after this story. I came to a stop light, and I stopped, and it may have been a rolling stop, but I even made a second attempt at stopping. Then I kept going. It was turning right on red. And all of a sudden, you see that flash, right? And I'm going, did I stop? Did I not stop? I don't remember, right? I think I did. But I remember just that little thing had kind of spoiled the whole day for me. And now I've got this burden of, am I going to get something in the mail, a ticket in the mail? You ever had that where all of a sudden this burden, and it could be something very small, a bill that you forgot to pay, right? And the burden, the raw things of this life just kind of upset you and you're frustrated. It could be something, the weight that we want to lose that just won't go away and just nags on you. You know, that blemish that appears on the face at the wrong time. You know, some little, maybe it's not even a big medical condition, but it just keeps coming back. You know, maybe we sent a text that we shouldn't have sent, and it worries us. We have a poor response from a spouse or a loved one. You know, we hear about this at church and at these peaks and even on mountaintop experience. We hear on these mountains this incredible gospel story about being loved and cared for by God, but we feel disappointed with the things of this life, and it just brings us down. And you're wondering, where's the power? Where's the power of these experiences? Well, let's watch as we see our scene draw to the departure of God, of Jesus saying goodbye. And let's see if there's any power in this mountaintop experience as we watch the disciples. Our passage, we've already read verses 1 and 2. He speaks of this other book. Now in verse 3, he says this. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. It says verse 4, and while staying, and literally that word is talking about eating with them, and it's going to go on to say something else that happens. But I want to just think about this. This is the only place where we learn about the post-resurrection of Jesus, how many days he's there. He's there for 40 days. And he is not just there in a usual sense, but it says that he keeps appearing to them. That he's there at times, and then he goes away. He comes back at times. He eats with them. He's teaching them. What's the subject that he's teaching them about? Very interesting. Same subject as the first film, right? Here this familiar character comes back, Jesus, and he's still preaching on the kingdom of God. When things come under the reign of God, and we, you know, he gave us the prayer in the first film. We prayed it this morning, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, and that's still his message he's preaching. And there's a thought by some, and you'd have to think, if you put yourself in the disciples' shoes, if Jesus keeps, after the resurrection, appearing and then going away and coming back, then disappearing and coming again, maybe this is how things will continue to be. Maybe this is what it means to, as the church gets going, that Jesus would show up. Wouldn't that be nice if he showed up, you know, gave us some direction? Even if he disappeared, he comes back. And for 40 days, we see this continual appearing and teaching, spending time with them, eating with them. In verse 4, once again, and while staying with them, literally eating with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. Now we're going to see something begin to change a little bit. He's preparing them for something. He says, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Once again, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. He's talking about the kingdom coming in. He's talking about a promise that's about to come. And remember these guys from the first film, these disciples, remember what they always were talking about? Who's going to have the best position in the kingdom? Isn't that an honorable thing to speak of before Jesus? Who's got, Lord, can it be me? Can it be me? And now, you almost have to shake your head in this sequel, verse 6. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Is it time? Is this it? Here we are. You remember, there's a small group here. Is this the time that you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Their focus is on something very small, the kingdom of Israel. And then he says to them this, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. I want to skip to verse 9 intentionally. Don't read verse 8, all right? Verse 9, and when he had said these things as they were looking on, He was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And I'm skipping another just simple word there, they were gazing into heaven. He says, it's not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by His own authority. And then we have a statement He's going to make in verse 8, and then in verse 9, after saying these things, He's lifted up. And this is something unique, something different. It says there that they were left gazing into heaven. Kind of a sense there that they're wondering, wow, wait a minute, this one seems different. The actual word there is a sense of waiting and seeing, is there something different here? He's gone away now. Is this God Himself leaving again? And the reason I say again is that we've seen Him leave before, haven't we? Remember in the original? Did we see God? Did we see Jesus leave His disciples? There was another mountaintop experience in the Gospel of Luke, Matthew, Mark, and John as well, where they said goodbye to Jesus. And there's a question that we're about to have in this sequel. How will they respond after this mountaintop experience? And the question we have to reflect upon is, how did they respond with that original mountaintop experience? Remember that? Jesus is going away. In the original film, it's a scene at a cross and His death. Do you remember how the disciples handled? They had 3 years of a mountaintop experience, and within literally hours, what happens? Just a week after the triumphal entry, the disciples come down from the mountaintop, and quickly the whole thing dissolves. Was there any power in these 3 years of ministry? The apostles scatter. Remember that? Remember Peter? Bold Peter becomes weak and acts shamefully before this little servant girl, and he denies Christ 3 times when she asks him. And you have Jesus having gone away now. Jesus is dead. And the disciples, after that incredible 3 years of ministry, mountaintop experience, they are disillusioned, they are disappointed, and they are in disbelief. What was even the purpose of that mountaintop experience? Have you ever felt that way? You had a great event, felt God ministered to you, and then almost immediately you come back to the real world and you get zapped. So what will happen this time? Now I want to freeze frame back in the sequel here in Acts. I want you to just picture them gazing at the sky, right? About a dozen people. Same disciples, same apostles, frozen there as we're thinking, as they're looking up in the sky. And I want to jump ahead and read to you a verse. The question is, what will happen this time? In the book of Acts, chapter 17, you have these who are against the gospel. They were Jews who were jealous. 17:5 says, but the Jews were jealous and taking some wicked men of the rabble, they formed a mob, set the city in an uproar, and attacked the house of Jason, seeking to bring them out to the crowd. And when they could not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the brothers before the city authorities, shouting. Now listen to what they're shouting. This is chapter 17. Only a handful of years after these disciples are looking up at the sky, and listen to the testimony of those who hate Christians. All right? These aren't Christians saying this about Christians. This is the testimony of those who hate Christians. These dozen people looking at the sky, just a handful of years later, it says, these men, talking now about the followers of Jesus, these men who have turned the world upside down have come here also. These men who have turned the world upside down have come here also. Now I want you to contrast the two right now. The original disciples scattered. They're weak. They don't make any kind of testimony toward Christ. And now, same group, they've turned the world upside down. And the question is, what is the difference? And it is verse 8 of chapter 1. The difference is found there. It says, Jesus says to them, He's going away, but you will receive, and it's the word power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. And we'll talk about this next week, but this is like a table of contents of the book of Acts, how it goes through. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Verse 8 tells us there is power that is available now, that will become available at the giving of the Holy Spirit that was not available before. And we're about to see the power of the one who is called the Holy Spirit. Once again, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. There's a question that I asked a long time ago. I've only been here a year and a half. It was a long time ago since I've been here. It's a question, and I think it's a dangerous question, but it's one actually that the Bible gives an answer to. So before you judge the question, I want you to think through this. If you had the choice in this life, okay, which would you choose? Being able to see Jesus daily, walking with Him, as the apostles did, as the disciples did. Being able to ask Him questions, being able to hear Him teach. If you had that choice, or you had the choice of what we have right now, which is to have the Holy Spirit and Jesus having gone away, which would you take? Which one seems better to you? Jesus? Wouldn't that be neat? Or the Holy Spirit? Which is, I think, in our hearts how we maybe view this question. And yet Jesus in John 16 said something that is shocking. He tells His disciples in John 16, 7, He says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away." It's to your advantage that I go away. And why is this? For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. Who is the Helper? The Holy Spirit. And when He comes, He will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. You see, it's this often neglected person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, who comes in power and who ultimately turns the world upside down. And Jesus said that it is to their advantage that He goes away, so that the Helper will come to them. And look, the Holy Spirit is not just something that we receive. It's not just a second reception. It's not something that we come to Christ, and then after some time and study, and we have some revelation, and then we receive the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is one who is given originally when we come to Christ. Actually, the one that brings us to Christ. For many, that mountaintop experience, for many of you, if you truly came to Christ during that mountaintop experience, you came down from the mountain the same way that the apostles did in Acts. With the power of Him called the Holy Spirit, who's about to turn the world upside down, and that same power is within you. And what we're going to see from this point on is that the book of Acts is a testimony of this Holy Spirit. In fact, the name, the Acts of the Apostles, which was given toward the second century, there have been some that have said, hey, is that the best title of this book? Luke didn't give the title. It was later on by the church. There's a theologian who I think gives a wonderful idea for a title. It's just way too long. Here's what he says. "The continuing words and deeds of Jesus by His Spirit through the apostles." We're going to watch as we continue through this book what one pastor calls the first ever viral marketing. Y'all know what viral videos are online? Right? You go and you see a video, and what happens is it makes you laugh so much, or it makes you cry so much, you say, I want to share this with someone else. So you put it, you post it somewhere, someone else reads it. Oh, this touched me so much. And what happens is it's like a virus. It's contagious. And it begins to spread quickly. You see, the Holy Spirit As we look at his interaction with the apostles now have something that's contagious. You, if you are in Christ, you have something that should be contagious. And the problem with a lot of us in Christianity is that rather than having that virus, if you will, we've been vaccinated. You know what a vaccine is? It is a mild form of the real thing that keeps you from getting the real thing. And if you think about being vaccinated with Christianity, it's not contagious at all. It's very tepid. There's no power. For many of us, maybe early on, we received that first kind of contagious Christianity, a true conversion. But all of a sudden now, our life has begun to grow cold. There's no spreading of the gospel to others around us. And yet what we need to be reminded of this morning is we have the Holy Spirit within us who turned the world upside down. One commentator says that we, as we move forward from here in Acts, and I would argue that the same thing is to be true of us as we move forward, those with the Holy Spirit, that we are called to be missiles of salt and light. That we come in a powerful way, flying into this world and changing it. So the question that we kind of end with this morning, the question of, is your faith contagious? Do you see the power of the Holy Spirit within you? If there was a season of your life where you saw the power of the Holy Spirit, where you were contagious, but you've grown cold or you've quenched the Spirit, there's something I'm going to encourage you to do here shortly. But if you have been vaccinated from the very beginning, it should be a strong warning right here. If you've been vaccinated, there is no Holy Spirit that's there. And if you want to have power, the power that not only turns the world upside down, but the power that saves you, that first and foremost, there has to be a true coming to Christ. Laying down of the things of this world, confessing your sin, seeking repentance. You have to come to Christ. If you've only been vaccinated, you'll never have true power. Power that can save you. For those of us who have come to Christ, who are in Christ, and you say, you know what though, I still get weighed down by the traffic flash, right? I still get weighed down by the little things of this world. Where is that power right now? Well, we're going to wrestle with that through this book, but let me give you something now that doesn't fully answer it, but it's something meant to engage you this morning. It comes from Paul, a well-known passage in 1 Corinthians 12:9 that says this. Paul says, "He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" Then listen to the remedy. "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I want to encourage you to wrestle with that idea. What does it mean for you to boast in your weakness? Because it is there. It is not in your power, but in your boasting in your weakness that you begin to see the true power of Christ come through. Final passage sets the course for the rest of the book. It says, verse 10, "And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven.'" In other words, you've been given the Great Commission. You're standing there. You're gazing at heaven. There is work to be done. And now what you're going to see here shortly is with the giving of the Holy Spirit, with the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, the one who comes, that you're going to see the world get turned upside down in the book of Acts. You're going to see the weakness of man And you will see them boast in their weakness. And boasting in their weakness, they will have boldness because they will have the power of the Holy Spirit that is driving them. And you're going to see once again this contagious Christianity spreading like a virus. And you're going to see the very power of the Holy Spirit in this book. Would you be contagious as well as you leave here? For those who have been vaccinated, or at least feel like you've been vaccinated, there are people here to pray. Those folks I'm about to pray for, so those people would go now. And I just want to encourage you, if you need prayer this morning, to seek out one of the people that are in those locations. It's a time, if you need to confess that you've only been vaccinated, you need to come to Him and surrender all. It's a time that if you remember a good season of life when things seemed vibrant in your walk with Christ, but they've grown cold, time to confess that as well. If there are other things in your life you need prayer for this morning, let me encourage you to take advantage of it now. Let me pray for us. Father in heaven, Lord, as we think of the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, I thank You for this book where we get to witness that power. And then, Lord, we have the incredible truth that that power is within us for those who are in Christ. Lord, we're not meant to be vaccinated. We're meant to be contagious with our faith. Lord, open our eyes. Show us, Lord, the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, areas where we quench the Spirit. Lord, open our eyes, please. It is by Your work and Your work alone that we can see our need for You. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.